Here we go. Mark chapter 1. Let's all stand out of reverence for the word of God. Beginning in verse 40. Now a leper came to him, imploring him, and this is speaking of Jesus, kneeling down to him and saying to him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I am willing, be cleansed." As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. And he strictly warned him and sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them." However, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in desert places. And they came to him from every direction. Father, we thank you again for your word, and we ask that your Holy Spirit would come and be our teacher. We pray that your truth would be seen, and that as we learn, Lord, the lessons that you want us to see today, may we not only walk out of here being built up and encouraged, but may we take your word to those who don't know you. May we take the truth of the gospel message to hearts that need hope. May we have, Lord, an opportunity to see miracles happen right before our eyes when people come to that understanding of knowing who you are. For your true desire is that everyone would come to the saving knowledge of who you are. So would you please give us the boldness and help us today to be your voice, to be your hands, to be your feet, and to spread the gospel message. And it's in Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. 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 Please be seated. As we've been going through this gospel account, and again, there's just so much in here that I pray we're getting some amazing opportunities to learn about the Lord and to grow and then, of course, apply. But last week, we looked at Jesus and the disciples as they were in Capernaum. They did a great work. The Lord was healing people after the service in the synagogue. And the next day, Jesus revealed that they needed to go to the next towns because the purpose of him coming was to preach the gospel. So Jesus and his disciples have left Capernaum, and now they're traveling all throughout Galilee. And of course, Jesus is staying true to what he expressed to the disciples, and that was preaching in many synagogues and casting out many demons. And so I hope and pray that you would catch this about the Lord, because it is so important that we understand the preaching of the gospel is the priority. That is the number one thing that we need to know today, far above the miracles. The miracles may be a temporary healing physical being, but if somebody gets the gospel, if they understand the truth of God's love and what that gift of eternal life is, they now have transitioned from that destiny of hell into heaven. That's far greater than having a whole physical body. And so this was Jesus' primary ministry, to declare the truth of how to enter into God's kingdom. And so as we look at what Jesus is doing, we're going to discover again, he's going to read while he's in the synagogues. He's going to open up the scrolls, and he's going to basically declare, read through them, and it is the word of God that will give people a sign to know that Jesus was the Messiah, the Christ, the coming one that would save them. And this is important because, again, as Jesus would read these things, it gave people an opportunity to believe, to respond. And so Jesus definitely did miracles, but the miracles were never his primary reason for coming. It's always to preach the gospel. And so not only did he stay true to that, but as we pick up in verse 40, Mark reveals a leper came to Jesus. Now, during Bible times, this word or leper or leprosy was used to describe a wide variety of skin diseases. Now, you can find all of this in Leviticus chapter 13 and 14. But in Luke's account of the gospel, he revealed a little bit more about this man. He revealed that his whole body had been affected by this skin disease. So in other words, it was like stage 4 of cancer, maybe. Liken it to that. His full body being affected. Now, I saved you guys the, you know, difficulty of, I was going to put some pictures up. But I decided not to, because I didn't want anybody to walk out getting sick or anything. But listen, this disease, again, affected the body, and it's, again, what was so, I should say, why did they fear back in the Old Testament when it came to leprosy? Because number one, it was contagious, and the other reason was because there was no cure, okay? What may have started off as a small little spot on the skin, a discoloration of your skin, and of course, if it was untreated inwardly, it would attack your nerves. And as soon as it would attack the nerves, it would cause loss of feeling, fingers, feet, ears, nose. And so in more serious cases, it would also cause deformities. And again, some of the pictures that I saw of people's hands being gone, no more feet or no more toes on the feet. Even ears, eyes, nose were all affected by this disease. And so not only was this a painful disease, and not only was it something that lepers had to deal with on the physical level, there was another level, which was the ceremonial law, which was this. Anybody who would have any form of this skin disease would have to go to the high priest. And the high priest was required, it was his responsibility for the well-being of the community to make sure everybody was healthy, both spiritually and physically. And it was the high priest who would declare a person clean or unclean. And whatever he gave, that was the end of it. And so a person would come to the high priest, and if there was any forms of spots, whether white or red, listen carefully, he would then have this person isolated for a certain period of time, 7 days. And if the priest came back and the spots, say for example, if they didn't move and they didn't change colors and it was just a discoloration, then he could declare that person clean. It didn't spread, it didn't do anything. But if he came back in the 7 days and that little spot turned into bigger spots and began to, you know, affect the whole body where there was evidence of it, then that priest would declare that person unclean. And the next thing that would take place is he would be immediately kicked out of the community, kicked out of the city. And so he was stripped away from his family and friends and from society. He would have to walk around in selected clothing, okay? And this was what they would consider grave clothes. It was clothes that you would maybe wear during that time of mourning after a loss of a loved one. And there were two schools of thoughts when it came to a person who had leprosy. One was this: they were considered the walking dead. The other was this: that it was God's punishment upon them. And so they were looked down upon. And here's the toughest thing, because God never created us to be isolated or to live alone, but anybody who had leprosy could not touch another person, could not hug their wife or their husband or their kids or a good friend. No more of that. They had to keep their distance. And I find it interesting that the distance that they were required to stay apart from people was 6 feet. I don't know if they were required to wear a mask, but it was biblical. I'll tell you the truth. It was in the scriptures, or in the commentary I read. Not only could they not touch, hug, but here was the other thing that must have been extremely difficult, was that if they were ever to be in the presence of other people, they would have to yell out the words, unclean, unclean, warning a person to keep their distance. And so many of the religious leaders, as well as the other people, all of the other Jewish people, despised lepers. And one of the things that the commentaries mentioned was that at times they would pick up rocks and throw them at them. And the purpose for that was to make sure they themselves would not become defiled and being too close to a person who had this disease. So there was no more contact, no more family. You live outside the city all by yourself. This was the man who came to Jesus. This was a bold move. Why was it bold? Because he did everything that was against the law. Traditionally, he wasn't allowed to approach people. He wasn't allowed to go anywhere. He had to stay outside of the city. But I hope and pray that we would understand this from Luke's account. This man must have been struggling with this skin disease for years. I know that there are many people who are battling with long-term illnesses. And many of them are praying and asking for some form of miracle, some form of just relief. And this is where this man is. And can you imagine being this leper, of having this struggle for so many years and watching your body become disfigured, no more having feeling at all, not having a hug, no touch, no nothing. And all of a sudden you start hearing about this Jesus who is going around town healing people. Jesus is going and taking care of other people who have other forms of illness and also casting out demons. And this is what I love about this story, because as he heard these things, it caused him to believe in Jesus. How do we know that? Because of what it says. What does it say? This man's faith was seen in the way that he responded as he came to Jesus. He didn't just come up to Jesus and say, "Heal me." He came bowing. He came with his face to the ground out of reverence. And as he cried out to the Lord, he was begging the Lord to cleanse his body. And I want you to see why I say he's showing great faith, because notice what he says. If you are willing, you can. It doesn't say you might. It doesn't say maybe. It says very clearly, his words, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And in that phrase, his faith is seen, understanding and knowing that Jesus has the power. If he was able to heal other people, he came believing that Jesus could heal him. And so as this man is pouring out his heart and crying out to the Lord, notice verse 41, Jesus was moved with compassion. This is awesome. This is a beautiful picture. Now, it doesn't say anything about the disciples. Did you notice that? So Jesus is standing there, and I don't know if the disciples were all like, okay, you're getting a little too close there, buddy. I don't know if they themselves are picking up rocks, getting ready to chuck at him. But all I do know is what it says about Jesus, and he didn't budge, and he didn't move, and no form of ugliness, no form of anything scared him from standing in front of this man. Amen. Jesus was able to stand there, and not only that, but listen, as Jesus heard this man's plea, saw his position, saw that his face was to the ground, listen carefully, that's what moved him. And this word compassion means to be deeply moved, not just feeling sorry for somebody. It's causing whatever you see motivating you, encouraging you to go out and do something for that person instead of just going, well, that's bad. I'm amazed, again, as you look at this description of how Jesus was moved. And he, again, it's just not because it says it. How do we know he was moved? Notice what the Lord does. In this man's pain, in this man's cry of his heart, Jesus stretched out his hand and Jesus touched him. Now think about that. Haven't been touched in years. Head to the ground, not knowing what Jesus would do. And yet now all of a sudden he feels the hand of Jesus on him. What a powerful picture of the love that Jesus has for people. He stretched out his hand. To others that were there, they may have been looking at this, now possibly accusing Jesus of breaking the Jewish tradition laws, the ceremonial laws, because Jesus himself was not able, was not supposed to touch anybody with leprosy, for it would cause him to be unclean. But again, I just love this picture. Don't ever walk away from the scriptures and just miss these pictures of the Lord's heart being expressed. Because no matter what it is, Jesus' hand is always going to be reached out to you. Doesn't matter what issues, an illness, doesn't matter how dark of a path you lived on, doesn't matter what you think is too dirty, doesn't matter where you've been, Jesus' hand is still going to be reaching out to you. So not only do we see Jesus saying these words and reaching out and touching this man, but he also granted his request. I am willing. Be cleansed. That's awesome. That is such a beautiful picture because, again, this miracle would cause everybody to understand the only explanation of this miracle could be is God healed him. Remember, there was no cure. So now to see him being healed right before their eyes, there is no other reason but God. Notice verse 42. After Jesus spoke these words, immediately this deadly disease left this man's body. He was no longer a leper, but he was cleansed. Talk about a miracle. And again, I know many of us have watched these movies where, I think it was in Terminator, you know, guy's hand gets cut off and then it just grows back, right? That's a movie. But this is not a movie. This is real. That the moment that this happened, I can't imagine having, you know, hands that may look something like this become whole again. That every single part of his body that had bumps or scabs or pussing sores, sorry, I just had to go there. No longer there. I don't know if you are the type of person that worries so much about the outside that you miss the beauty that's on the inside. And I know that many of us, you've heard me, when I get to heaven, I'm a slam dunk. I hate being short. Just transparency, I hate being short. I'm a little jealous of all of you who are over 6 feet. I think all of us would like to maybe look a certain way, but don't ever miss the beauty that you were fearfully and wonderfully made. Don't ever miss the beauty of knowing who your Creator is and why He created you the way He did. You don't need to listen to the world's lies of what you need to be. You don't need to listen to the world's ways of trying to retain a relationship by dressing less. You don't need a companion to make you complete. Jesus makes you complete. He said, you are cleansed, you are whole. And he walked, or he got up from that position, a new man. What was once rotting on the inside, he's been set free from. The next thing I want to share about this was because of Jesus' touch. Notice this. Jesus touched the untouched, and he cured the uncurable. No longer would this man have to live on the outside of the city. No longer would he have to walk around in those grave clothes. He didn't have to walk around shouting out, unclean, unclean. He didn't have to do any of that anymore. And I believe probably one of the biggest blessings is no longer would he need to be separated from his family. Oh my goodness. What a blessing. He would now have the privilege of being a part of society and being able to go into the synagogue and worship God the way that God would always desire it to be. This is what just happened. An amazing miracle. Verse 43 and 45, notice. And he strictly, speaking of Jesus strictly warned him and sent him away at once and said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them. And so, before this gentleman could go back into the city, Jesus strictly warned him. And what was the instructions that he gave him? What was the important news that Jesus wanted him to understand? And that was the first thing, see that you say nothing to anyone. In other words, don't tell anybody what just happened. Don't tell them what I just did. Don't tell them how you became clean. Just, this is what I want you to do. I want you to obey the law. I want you to go to the priest, the one who can declare you clean. Go to him first. Don't go anywhere else. This would be according to the law. This would show his respect and his willingness to follow. And again, it was the high priest. He was the only one who could declare him clean, declare him. Gosh, that was a hard word. A little tongue twister there. He was the only one who could declare him clean. And so this is why it was so important for him to go to the high priest. Then Jesus instructed him to offer the proper sacrifice that God commanded. Again, later today, go back and read Leviticus chapter 14. You can go through verse 4 all the way up to verse 20. I'm going to condense it. But basically, if a person was cleaned from leprosy, as he would come to the high priest and as the priest would examine him, then he would have to bring an offering. And this offering required was this: 2 clean birds, cedar wood, scarlet, and hyssop. Let me share with you what they would do with these things. One bird was a sacrifice. As his blood was spilt, the other living bird, along with the wood, the scarlet, and the hyssop, were dipped in the blood. Then the priest would then sprinkle the person who was standing in front of them with the blood. And then the priest would take those other objects and let the bird go free out into the fields. But all of those 3 things were required to come and give as a thanksgiving offering to God for the cleansing. And of course, then there would be a 7-day period that the priest would have to examine the person again. And then there was another offering that needed to be given. And after that one was done, then the priest would restore him back to society. So all of this had a purpose. And again, to make sure that he was properly healed from this leprosy to make sure that he would not be a threat to anybody else. But this was God's command. This is what Jesus was instructing him to do. And of course, after Jesus said all these things, he sent him on his way. And did the man follow Jesus' instructions? Well, look at verse 45. However, you know when that starts off, it always goes wrong. However, he went out and began to proclaim it freely. No matter where he went, he spread the matter. Instead of doing exactly what Jesus said, he went out and started telling people that it was Jesus who healed him. It was Jesus who cleansed his body. And this is important for us to see, because this, what this man did could have jeopardized this amazing blessing of being restored into the community. Because all it would have took was for the high priest to be offended by the fact that he disregarded the law. And so the high priest, again, is the only one who could have declared him clean or unclean. And he could have said, well, because you just chose not to come to me first. He could have had a little chip on his shoulder. He could have had a power trip and saying, you're still unclean. And nobody would have said anything. But yet, I need us to see this, because the other thing, if we're all honest in here, how many of us would be like, are you kidding me, Jesus? I can't tell anybody what just happened. How hard would that be? Come on now. Like, Lord, can't I just tell my mom? Like, can I tell somebody? And so I think we can all understand why he was excited and why he did what he did. I mean, the guy is now healed. He's cleansed. Everything that was stripped away would be restored to him. But the other thing that we might be wondering is, well, why would Jesus tell him not to say anything? And I hope that you would see the answer in this verse. Because from that point on, because of what he did, Jesus was not able to walk openly in that city. Jesus was not able to fulfill his purpose. Jesus was not able to preach in the synagogue. Jesus was not able to have other people hear the gospel and other people healed from their illnesses. You see, what he did in disobedience affected Jesus. And it affected other people from hearing the truth. And I just want to share this with you. This is Missions 101. When we go out and we serve in somebody else's home, in somebody else's country, we need to follow their instructions, because we never want to be the cause of the gospel moving forward because of our lack of wisdom and thinking that we know better when we don't even live there. I never want to be the cause of the gospel not going out in another country because I think I have some freedom. And so from that point on, Jesus would remain outside of the city and people would have to come to him. And I hope that you caught this, because now Jesus and this man have literally switched places. Where he was once on the outside, now he's going back into the city. Jesus, who wanted to be in the city, who could be in the city, is now on the outside of the city. You see, the main reason Jesus did not want this man to say anything is because it kept others from hearing the gospel. That is pretty much the main reason. And of course, helping other people. You know, as we close this chapter, I want us to understand Jesus' ministry is just blowing up. His fame is spreading because of all the things that he's been doing. The more that he visits a city or a town, people are talking, people are revealing, they're testifying, I was sick, or I was, you know, whatever, I was demon possessed, and Jesus is the one who made me whole. Jesus touched, Jesus said a word, and man, all of these things happened. But I never want us to forget, when we look at the testimony, notice they were amazed at the fact that Jesus taught with authority. Again, coming back to his primary reason, preaching the gospel. He didn't repeat other rabbis, but he explained the truth about God's kingdom. And he explained about the love of God, who desires all people to be set free from sin, to be given this gift of eternal life. He explained it. He helped people understand why we need it. The other thing that people were testifying to and what they were amazed at, again, because of his authority and power over illnesses and evil spirits. This is how powerful Jesus was, whether it was a touch or just a word, and people were healed. There's going to be another miracle that we see, that Jesus is going to just speak a word and he's going to heal somebody else in another town. That's some pretty powerful words, right? That's some authority there. I mean, that'd be like me and my dear mom is in California in the Bay Area, and I say, "Mom, today you're healed," and it happened. That's pretty powerful. And I do pray that. I do pray for my mom. Many of you are praying for your loved ones. But the reality is, this is a testimony that people were saying. But I can't close this chapter without seeing this miracle for what it really is. And this miracle, I believe with all my heart, this man's leprosy is a true picture of what sin will do to a person. I want us to understand, maybe some of you don't know this, maybe you're not aware of this, but the reason sin entered the world, it starts all the way back in Genesis because of Adam and Eve's disobedience. When they disobeyed God's commands and they ate of a fruit of a tree, Romans 5:12 says this, that death came in, or sin entered the world, and sin through death, death passed on to all because all have sinned. So, in other words, sin has brought physical and spiritual death. From that point on, man's relationship with God was different. There was a separation. That is the result of sin. Sin is that rebellious nature toward God. And listen, some of you might be sitting here and thinking, "Well, I know, Pastor, you're not talking about me. You're talking about somebody else in my row." Okay? Well, let me just ask a couple of questions. How many of you, from the time that you've received your driver's license, have obeyed every single one of the laws that are on the road? How many of you have been coming down Pioneer Boulevard here, and it's only 30 miles per hour, and yet you're late to church, speeding? Well, those are just suggestions, Pastor. I was moving with the flow of traffic. How about this one? Walk into a building, walk into a room, and there's a sign that says very clearly, "Wet paint, do not touch, our natural nature." And then we go, "Well, it is true." It is wet. That's our nature. That's what's been from generation to generation. Listen, we don't like being told what we can't do. And when somebody says, "Don't do it," game on. Right? Is it only me? No. Oh, thank you for this little section here. The rest of you left me hanging. We don't like being told, we don't like being confined. We want to do things our way, when we want it, how we want it. And we could care less if it hurts anybody else. We just want it. That's our natural nature. And the reality is, this is the result of it, because the acts of disobedience is sin. Now, the true definition of sin is this: missing the mark. Okay, that doesn't explain anything, Pastor. Well, let me tell you what the mark is. See, the mark is God himself. The mark is God's holiness, His majesty. God is holy. God is perfect. That's the mark. And when we sin and we disobey against God's commands, we're missing that mark. We're missing being in the presence of Him because we've all, the Bible says, have sinned. You know, I was reminded of this graphic or this cartoon picture, and I believe it was in an IBS training seminar that I was doing. But there was a tree, and on the tree was a target, a bullseye. And then there was a bunch of arrows everywhere except for the bullseye. A little distance away from the tree was a guy with a bow and arrow, and he had a blindfold on. And then I believe the picture was of Jesus saying, "Would you like for me to take the mask off so that you can see?" We have missed the mark. And it happened the moment when we have little kids and we bring them into the world, everybody, "Oh, how cute." And they're just a bunch of cute little sinners. That's the truth. That's the truth. And here's the thing. The sin that we commit separates us from God. And that impact, it's not just the separation, but it also impacts, there's an effect on our hearts. Because according to Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, our hearts are what? Deceitful and desperately wicked. Those are the results of sin. So it may start off small, just like leprosy, discoloration. There's something wrong. Could be a little speck, could be a little dot. And again, just like leprosy, unchecked, untreated, what started off small grows. And as leprosy grows, there's a numbness that happens inwardly. And in that numbness, it begins that disforming stage if it gets more serious, which will then lead to death. And it's just like sin. Unconfessed sin that grows within our hearts. Notice what Galatians chapter 5, verse 9 says. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. And some of you might be thinking, "Pastor, I'm no baker." And I'll say, "Amen, neither am I." What does this mean? We need to understand that the best visual that I can give you is my old school, unhappy, 5-pound block of cheese. Remember that? When I noticed the little green dot on that portion of the cheese, if we were to actually be able to hide it from my mom behind all the other groceries, and if it stayed there for months, it would not look like a block of cheese, because that little dot of green would affect the whole block of cheese. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. When it's unchecked, when it goes without treatment, when it goes without dealing with, it infests, it grows, it completely consumes whatever it's attached to. And what's crazy today is we see what sin has done to our world. What's crazy to see what little compromises people do in secret are now becoming numb in their hearts, and now they don't even care who sees, because what was done in secret or in dark is now being posted all over social media. What was done in secret, or whatever things that we've struggled with that we were always ashamed that everybody else would know, is now, "How many likes did I get?" Numb. No more feeling. No more conviction. You're just out there. That's the road that sin will take you down. And that road is dark. That road is ugly. And you will wake up one day going, "How in the world did I ever get here?" A little leaven leavens the whole lump. That's how. We know that the consequences of sin Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says this, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of eternal life, the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." So, beloved, what is it that I believe God wants us to see through this study today? God's plan is to save us from sin, the same way that he saved this leper. I pray that we would understand and know that through Jesus' death and his resurrection, that's all right. Focus. What I want us to see in that complete redemption plan, the finished work of the cross, Jesus' death and his resurrection, I want you to see the parallelism between the offering that was given by a person who was cleansed from leprosy. Though there was not two birds, there was one Jesus. Cedar wood and a wood cross. Scarlet, the stains, the robe, the mocking that Jesus was given. That scarlet robe and the hyssop that was offered to him as he hung on that cross, all of them parallel to this most amazing picture, and that is this. Jesus came to die and to save us from the penalty of sin. And when Jesus died and he declared, "It is finished, that work is done, there is nothing else no one needs to do." When Jesus died, he died once and for all. And through his death, when you believe, God is the one who declares you justified. Romans chapter 5, verse 9. He is the one that declares you that, not you. When we put our faith and we trust in what Jesus did, God declares you innocent. He saves you from that wrath to come, from the penalty of sin. He redeemed us. He brings us back into this right relationship with God. And this is where we rightfully belong, according to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. He brings us near to God. John chapter 1, verse 12 tells us that we are now children of God. And in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13, again, the nearness. Don't ever think that God is too far out of your reach. This is the beauty of what Jesus is doing for us today. And I pray that you would also know, when we believe in the finished work of the cross, we are now cleansed from all sins. We are forgiven, and we have been set free from sin. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, that if anyone confesses their sins, he, speaking of Jesus, is faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Not some, not 50%, all unrighteousness. This is what Jesus does for us. And again, these are so many beautiful things that we can connect with and see, but again, my heart is that we would all discover and know, because of Jesus' sacrifice, we have now switched places. We are now no longer, you know, separated from God when we believe. When we walk in obedience, when we have a trust in what the gospel is, and we believe in Jesus, we now have fellowship with God. The other beautiful thing is his blood was shed. That is what cleanses us from our sins. That was the penalty that was rightfully due by sin, and Jesus paid it, and it was paid in full. No more payments, no more requirement. It was done, finished, over, set free, period. I pray that today you would understand the depth of God's love, because again, this is his plan. Jesus came into this world. And we're going to see later in the passage where he tells the religious leaders, "I didn't come for the righteous. I came for those who are sick. I came for those who are in need of a touch." And I believe with all my heart, there's some of you here today that need a touch. I believe that there's some of you in here today that are still battling and still chained to things that God has the power and the ability to set you free from. But it starts with who you believe in. It starts with believing and putting your trust in what Jesus did on that cross. Because there is no other way to be made right, to get yourself cleaned up. There is no other way. Doesn't matter how many times you attend this church. Doesn't matter how many times you laugh at my corny jokes. That is not going to get you into heaven. What will get you in is believing in what Jesus said. It is finished. Jesus loves you. And this is why the gospel was so important for Jesus to proclaim. And that's why it's so important for us to proclaim today. We need to direct people to the gospel message. And from that point on, let God do what he does best. God is the one who converts the heart, not us. We just need to be faithful and be willing to be the hands, the feet, the touch, the voice, so that people will know how amazing our God is. Can I get an amen for that?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you so much for this message this morning. I want to thank you for the truth that we have in you. And I do pray, God, that we would see the beauty of how you cleansed us from sin, how you've set us free and brought us near to God, how you've given us a gift that no earthly treasure could ever compare. God, I am so thankful that today we have the blessing and the privilege of being a part of your family. And I do ask that as everyone's heads are bowed, eyes are closed, God, there is no way that I can turn away from this message without giving an invitation. And that invitation comes not because it's just a part of the service, but the invitation comes out of love from God. Again, the scriptures tell us, 2 Timothy chapter 2, that God desires everyone to come into the saving knowledge of who he is. And it is no mistake that you are here this morning. It is no mistake that this message was given out today. God knew you would be here. And if there's anybody in this place who has not made a confession of faith, I hope and pray you would understand even the depth of God having this message for this day specifically for you. And this message comes with an invitation that God loves you. And the only way that we can receive this love is to first deal with our own sin, to confess it, to get right with God, to believe that Jesus was that rightful payment. And his death, his shed blood, is what paid, which is what atoned for that penalty of sin. All of us deserved it. But just as we read, as a leper and his life switched, Jesus not only cleansed us, he sets us free from sin. And now we become a child of God, where we once walked in darkness. Now we walk in the light. And this is a gift for you. And I pray that if this is you, right where you're at, I want to ask that you would just slip up your hand so that I can see it. Because I believe that there are some of you here today that need just that touch from the Lord to receive his greatest love. Praise the Lord. I see your hand to my right. Anyone else? I don't want you leaving this service without knowing that God loves you. I don't want you to leave this service thinking that you need to get yourself cleaned up. Remember the leper. He just bowed his face before the Lord and just asked, Lord, would you cleanse me? And that's what God will do for you today. Anyone else? Father, I want to thank you for the hand that was raised, and I pray that if there's any others, maybe if you felt a little uncomfortable with raising the hand, listen, I just want to invite you. You can still pray. It's not the raising of your hand that will save you. It's your heart. It is your heart getting right with God. And so I want to just encourage you. You can repeat this prayer with me. So anybody who would like to receive Christ this morning, repeat this prayer. Dear God, thank you for sending Jesus to die on a cross. And I've learned today that he died for the sins of the world. He died and rose again on the third day. And I believe by faith that this is true. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me and for saving me. God, would you please forgive me of all of my sins? Would you cleanse me and make me whole? I commit my heart into your hands. So from this day forward, God, teach me your ways. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.